It was true that his mother had not been treated like a princess, and it was certainly too bad that her husband had expired on a linoleum floor in an empty house at the age of 36. But Bobby sometimes thought that things could have been worse. There might have been two kids instead of just one, for instance, or three, hell, even four. Or suppose she had to work some really hard job to support the two of them. Sully's mom worked at the tip-top bakery downtown, and during the weeks when she had to light the oven, Sully, John, and his two older brothers hardly even saw her. Also, Bobby had observed the women who came filing out of the Peerless Shoe Company when the 3 o'clock whistle blew. He himself got out of school at 2:30. Women who all seemed way too skinny or way too fat, women with pale faces and fingers stained a dreadful old blood color, women with downcast eyes who carried their work shoes and pants in total grocery shopping bags. Last fall he'd seen men and women picking apples outside of town when he went to a church fair with Mrs. Gerber and Carol and little Ian, who Carol always called Ian the Snot. When he asked about them, Mrs. Gerber said they were migrants, just like some kinds of birds, always on the move, picking whatever crops had just come ripe. Bobby's mother could have been one of those, but she wasn't. What she was Mr. Donald Biderman's secretary at Hometown Real Estate, the company Bobby's dad had been working for when he had his heart attack. Bobby guessed she might first have gotten the job because Donald Biderman liked Randall and felt sorry for her, widowed with a son barely out of diapers, but she was good at it and worked hard. Quite often she worked late. Bobby had been with his mother and Mr. Biderman together on a couple of occasions. The company picnic was the one he remembered most clearly. But there had also been the time Mr. Biderman had driven them to the dentist's in Bridgeport, when Bobby had gotten a tooth knocked out during a recess game, and the two grown-ups had a way of looking at each other. Sometimes Mr. Biderman called her on the phone at night, and during those conversations she called him Don. But Don was old, and Bobby didn't think about him much. Bobby wasn't exactly sure what his mom did during her days and her evenings at the office, but he bet it beat making shoes or picking apples or lighting the tip-top bakery ovens at 4:30 in the morning. Bobby bet it beat those jobs all to heck and gone. Also, when it came to his mom, if you asked about certain stuff, you were asking for trouble. If you asked, for instance, how come she could afford 3 new dresses from Sears, one of them silk, but not 3 monthly payments of $11.50 on the Schwinn in the Western Auto window. It was red and silver, and just looking at it made Bobby's gut cramp with longing. Ask about stuff like that, and you were asking for real trouble. Bobby didn't. He simply set out to earn the price of the bike himself. It would take him until the fall, perhaps even until the winter, and that particular model might be gone from the Western Auto's window by then, but he would keep at it. You had to keep your nose to the grindstone and your shoulder to the wheel. Life wasn't easy, and life wasn't fair.